1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as we finish talking about leading like a parent. We're going through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians this year, and we've come to chapter 2 to finish good leadership, as Paul says, to lead like a parent. Now, there is in parents, mothers and fathers, there are perfect balance there. A mother illustrates gentle care, and a father illustrates strong authority. And that's the balance that is needed in spiritual leadership as well. And so, I believe that God created the church to be much like a family. We're a family here, and you need good, strong leadership, but they need to have the nurturing care of mothers, and they also need to have the strong authority as fathers as well. Businesses run, should run about the same way. Good family-run businesses, businesses that have family operations where they have the care of their employees, the care of their customers, and the care of their product, but also very strong authority and leadership run very well. And so last week we talked about leadership. Good leadership has that mothering type of nurturing care in it. But there is a balance that you need a father figure in leadership. And we've come to talk about fathers today, which is an aspect of leadership that we are losing. Matter of fact, science has proven that in our culture today, men have less testosterone than they have in years past. Honestly and truthfully, America is feminizing our men. Men are becoming women, basically. And it's having a huge effect on the family, it's having a huge effect on our society, and it's having a huge effect on our churches. And so, absent fathers harm children in many ways, growing them up. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children, that's more than one in four, live without a father inside the home. Consequently, there's a type of father factor in nearly all of our social ills that face America today. According to the National Fatherhood Initiative, they put out these results, and they said that children with imprisoned fathers are more likely to have severe depression. Children with absent fathers are more likely to be absent fathers themselves. Women who have absent fathers are more likely to have children from fathers who are going to be absent themselves. Children raised in fatherless homes are twice as likely to be obese. And this one, which is scary, children from absent father homes are 281% more likely to do drugs and commit crimes. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 19, he's actually talking about he's equal with the Father in authority, but he says, what the Son sees the Father do, the Son will do in the same manner. Amen? And so the same principle applies to the church, and this is where we come. We're talking about leadership. These principles are the same. What the Son sees the Father do, the Son will do in the same manner, and it applies to the church in this way. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. See, the pattern of the children is that not only in the home, but we also see this in our churches. We have spiritual children here as well, and we have father and mother figures. And what I mean by that is this: we need to show by example to our spiritual children what we're supposed to. In 3 John chapter 4, John writes this. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. And he calls them children. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 22, Paul says, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So many times in the Bible, we see father figures and mother figures, and Paul and John here, they're talking about spiritual children. He says, it's no greater joy than to see my children are walking the way that God wants them to. And so here's the idea. Men, women, you are father and you are mother figures to the spiritual children that are here. And the spiritual children are nothing more than the folks that are younger than you. Amen? Those that are in the Lord, you are father and mother figures. Well, my kids have been gone for years. And I've got grandkids, and I got great-grandkids now. Tough patootie. You are still a mother and a father figure to anybody that's in the Lord that's younger than you. I think Dale's the oldest one here. He's probably our spiritual father. What are you, 102, Dale? So, I'm just kidding. I love you, Dale. You know that. If I don't pick on you, I don't like you. So, anyway. Let me put this into perspective, folks. When we talk about fathers needing to be there, it's also important in our churches. Because when you see growing up, and this is the same principle that Jesus says in John 5, 9. What the Son sees the Father do, the Son does in the same manner. So, when our spiritual children, so to speak, when they grow up in the church, and they don't see men in our children's program, they don't see men teaching children back in our children's wing, junior church, Sunday school, our Awana program, you know what they grow up thinking? Teaching kids are just for women. Thank you. Why are men back there? Because that's probably how they've shown. In our examples in church, which we need to set a good example, we need men back there. Praise God, there's some change coming to Mission Point. Amen? We've got men that are stepping up. We've got some new folks that are serving in our Awana program. And I tell you what, we've got some younger folks that are coming back there as well. Young gentleman has been through our discipleship program. It changed his life. And now he is going from a job from second shift to first shift. And now he's coming on to the Awana program so he can teach children. Is that awesome? Amen. Praise God. It doesn't have to be this way. We can change things around if you want. But there's something special about having a man, a strong authority, back with our children. Amen? Because it's not just for ladies. One of the biggest reasons that we are losing teens in our teen program, 90% of teens that come out of our program, actually, let me rewind that. 90% of our teens coming out of our teen program, the statistic is much more than that. I think it's like 99.some% of our teens don't come back. But here's the thing, with a son in our teen program, if dad doesn't come to church, 9 times out of 10, they won't come back either. We're losing people because we're not setting the example. It's important. Dads are important. What the son sees the father do, the son will do in the same manner. It's the power of influence. But unfortunately, the church doesn't have any influence anymore. We need to redirect that. We need to get back. Mothering examples in our church, mothering, caring, nurturing examples in leadership is important. But what we're lacking in today is strong authoritarian father figures. Let's get into our text this morning. If you're there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's look at verse 7 through 12. We'll read our text and then we'll open in a word of prayer and get into our study this morning. Paul writes this, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, having devoutly and justly and blamelessly, we behaved ourselves among you who believe. as you know, how he exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Tim Bongiorno, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity we have to come in your house. We ask now, Lord, that you open our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us today. For all these things we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Paul acted like a man. He was a man. He acted like a man. But there was some aspect of him that acted like a mother. He had a very nurturing side to him when it came to leadership, but he also had that strength of a father figure, the courage, the characteristic of what's needed in strong leadership. Look at verse 10 there. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how," notice these three words, "how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe." Now, he started off by saying, "You are witnesses, and God also." There was a visible example for people to see. And that's what we need. We need to set visible examples for folks to see. A father's responsibility is to set the standard of integrity in the home. The mother and the children need to see a visible example for them to follow. And that's what we need. And it follows with spiritual leaders as well. Look at that first word there. He says devoutly. Devoutly. Now that word is translated, it means holy. It simply means holy. And it has the idea of our life before God. So our life before God needs to be holy. I mean, Peter says, "Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy." It says that in the Old Testament. We're to be before God. We are to be holy. And Paul could say that. He was an example. He lived devoutly in his life. He was holy in his conduct before God. And the second word is justly, also translated uprightly. And it has to deal with justice in the court, dealing with the law, and specifically here, with the law of God. It is our duty before God and man how we deal with the law before both of them. Not only just God. I mean, we have to deal with God in a certain way according to the law, and we have to deal with man a certain way according to the law. So Paul says, from the perspective of my relationship with God, just him, I acted devoutly. You're witnesses, so is God. He said, I acted devoutly. I have a holy lifestyle. Where it comes to the law that deals with God and man, he said, I acted justly, uprightly. And then thirdly, the word he uses is blamelessly. And the word is has to deal with one's reputation before men. Not just before God and man, but simply before men. We have to walk blamelessly in this life before men. Before God, we have to be devout, holy. According to the law, before God and men, we need to be justly. We need to be upright. And we need to walk before men blameless, so that there is no charge against us. That's how we should behave. That's how we should behave. You have to see a visible model of virtue. And unfortunately, we're losing those visible models, those examples to follow. But it's much more than just an example to follow. We don't just set the example. We have to teach people that same example for them to follow as well. Look at verse 11. Paul says, "As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children." Now, what do these words mean? Well, the word exhorted, the first word there, it means to come alongside and to move someone in a specific line of conduct. Now, I remember in the military where you join the military and they move you to a specific line of conduct. I remember this gentleman. I don't even remember his name. We called him Rock because he couldn't march at all. And so that's what the drill sergeant called him. I said, "You have 2 feet that are nothing but one big rock. You can't move him at all. I mean, how hard it would be to go left, your left, your left, right, left. And he couldn't follow that. Because and so they called him Rock. And so the drill sergeant would come along and he'd go, now walk, now take a step. Now left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. Put one foot in front of the other. No. Okay. So what they're doing is they're trying to take you, an unrefined person, and they're coming alongside you, and they're trying to get you to act in a certain way. And that's what Paul's saying. He was exhorting someone. Not only do we set the example for somebody to see, we need visible examples for people to see, but it's much more than that. We need to take that, and we need to bring somebody alongside and say, here, I've set the example. Now let me show you how you're going to walk the same way that I do. Amen? The Holy Spirit does that with us. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, but when the Helper comes, and we know that the Helper is the Holy Spirit, the Greek word is paraclete. He is our paraclete. He is our helper, our advocate. He is our intercessor. And it's the same form of the word here that's used exhorted. It's the same form. It's parakaleia. And it means to come alongside and to move somebody to a specific course of conduct. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He is your helper if you allow him to move you to a specific course of conduct. The Spirit that dwells in you wants to be 100% obedient to God. And all he wants to do is move you alongside to that obedience. But you have to give him control. You have to allow him to do that. And so the same thing here. When you set the example, you bring someone alongside. You bring them alongside yourself. And you align them with that good godly conduct that you have. And that's what Paul did. And he could do that. And so a father brings a child along. Moves that child into a specific conduct. And not only Paul gave them instruction, but he also motivated them. Look at the second word found there in verse 11. Comforted. He not only exhorted, but he also comforted. The father's role is to come alongside and to encourage or to comfort. It's to get the child to stir him up, to make an act of his own will, emotionally driving that person to set that course to how the father wants him to act. That's basically what it is. I'm encouraging you to keep moving. You know what? You join the military, you get into basic training, that first day really sucks. And a lot of people want to go home. So what we needed was people to encourage you to stick with it. And that's what Paul said. Listen, God wants you to align exactly how he wants you to. It's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. Stick with it. We need to be encouraged. We need to give encouragement more so. Encouragement says that, you know, this is the way you're to walk, and stick with it. It's going to be tough, I know, but keep doing it. And I hate to use Matt Trammell as the example. That guy's head's big enough as it is, but it fits my point, so I have to. That man is a visible son of a gun. I can't even talk today. Pray for me. Okay, I'm good. He is a very visible person when it comes to weight room results. So not only does he set the example, let's just say everybody here wanted to go to the gym, and some of you probably should, just saying. I'm just kidding. I love you in Jesus. Come on. I heard somebody snore. I have to wake you up. So here's the idea. If everybody was to go to the gym, you need a visible, something visible to say, hey, does this stuff work? All right? And you would use Trammell to do that. Okay. Hey, yeah, that dude does it. So instead of just having a visible representation of what it's supposed to look like, he's got to pull people alongside of him and say, hey, if you want to work out and you want to get big, here, do this. Do what I do. Right? I'm showing you by an example what Paul's saying here. We need to pull people alongside of our lives and say, hey, look, all right, here's your visible example. Let me show you how to do it. Let me teach you. And while you're teaching them, you have to encourage them. Because if any of you have worked out long enough, you'll know that the body is not designed to work out. And whenever your body starts pushing stuff, lactic acid gets pushed into your muscles. That's the soreness, lactic acid. I get that all the time after I do like the 5-pounders. Oh, man, I'm done. And I need Matt Trammell to come along and go, hey, I know the lactic acid's getting pushed into your muscles and they're really getting sore and they're really hurting, but keep going. You're going to get an end result you're going to like. Keep moving. Keep doing it. It's going to work. Trust me. I know. Remember, if we don't encourage people, the only thing that we're going to do is be critical to them. Last week, I gave you the principles of child rearing. I think it was 10 of them, but Dr. Haim Guyno said that if a child who lives with criticism doesn't learn responsibility, all they learn to do is to condemn themselves and then to condemn and find fault in everybody else. We need to be encouraging. We need to be building one another up, create a positive environment, uplifting, building, encouraging. And it goes to the third word here, which he says, charged. Kind of a weird word in this context, but that's the way we translate it. It says, I charged every one of you. And it comes from the Greek verb, mataromai, which means to witness. That's a better way to say it, to witness. And so fathers need to witness to their children, not in salvation. Yes, in salvation, don't get me wrong. We are to witness to our children in salvation. But it's a different kind of witness that he's talking about. He's supposed to say something like this. I tell you, son, if you don't do this because I'm a witness to it. That doesn't work. Or you could say, hey, if you want to do this, go this way because this will work. There's a negative and a positive aspect to this. We need to be witnesses to people. Oh, crap. I hate to use Matt again. So let's go back to his illustration. So you're in the gym. He sets the example. He pulls you alongside. He begins to train you. And then he's got to encourage you because your muscles are getting sore, especially working out with him. And it's really wearing on you. And you're like, oh, man. And so he says, you need to stick with it. And then he comes out and he's a witness. And he says, look, you keep going because you'll see a result. And he says, I'm a witness to it. If you stick to the gym, you'll get stronger. You'll get bigger. And you'll get muscle. And I've been working out for 2.5 years under his tutelage and I'm waiting for that. But he's a witness. He says, look, if you do what I tell you to do, if you align this way, let me encourage you. But if you do this, I'm a witness it's going to work. And there's also the same aspect in a negative way. Hey, you got to have good form. Because if you don't have good form, you're going to screw something up. I'm a witness to that. No, not him. Yeah, I'm the witness. Because I do it wrong all the time. And then you hurt muscles and you pull stuff and you strain things and you watch people deadlifting, and they do it wrong because they try to like use their like a bicep curl, and you watch that bicep just go from down here to up here. Hey, they're a witness. Sorry, Jack. My bad. Big power lifter right there, man. He'll tell you. That bicep go from elbow to shoulder, and you know it real quick. And he's a witness to it right there. But that's the idea. We need to have visible witnesses. You ever remember hearing your parents say, you know, well, back when I was your age, they went to school uphill both ways in snow, no shoes and all that stuff. Dinosaurs roamed the earth as well. But I hear people say all the time, listen, Danny, people need to experience stuff on their own. No, they don't. You don't need to experience this stuff on your own. Let me ask you a serious question. Why is there a warning label on stuff? Because some idiot did it, got hurt or got killed, and they have to put a warning label on it so that you don't do it. You know what that is? That's nothing more than a witness. Hey, this guy wore, you know, Mr. T was working on his car with all the moving parts and, yeah, ripped his face off. So, hey, don't wear jewelry while you're working on a car. Seriously? So we need witnesses. We need witnesses in this life. And one of the greatest examples I can think of is that we ought to praise folks who have never done anything. Does that make sense? There are people that have never done drugs. There are people that have never, I don't even know, so many different things. But here's the idea. Praise God for those people that become obedient that have never had to experience those things themselves because they took the warning label, the witness of somebody else. That's awesome. You know what? Praise God. There's folks like us, Trammell, myself, say, hey, don't do this. Don't go down this road. It's not going to end well for you. I'm a witness. I'll show you that. But there's other people that said, hey, I took the warning label from that dumb bald guy on the stage, and I didn't do it. Praise God. You don't have to experience this stuff yourself. Take the warning label. Be a witness to somebody. Pour your life into them. And so here's the idea. We encourage, we set the example, we exhort, we witness. And then Paul says that we do all these things to implore our children, not only in our home, but in our church, we implore our children so that they will, as look at verse 12, so that they will do this, that they would walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Paul says that a spiritual father is trying to produce, one commentator said, produce a product. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. You're trying to raise your children up so that the end result is that they're a specific kind of person, right? You want them to be a child of integrity. You want them to be somebody that has character, good godly character, and that's what you're trying to do. So the end result in the father figure is you're trying to make them a specific end result. And there's a difference between mothering and fathering. Mothering, they provide what is needed in the moment, and that is essential. But the fathers want to do what's right to produce the product of the end result. For example, a father would discipline a child. He's trying to direct that child to bring them back into obedience so that their character as the end result, the product, would be a good disciplined child. Amen? And so the mother in the moment, even though the father's looking to the end result, the mother in the moment, who's the one the child goes to? Yep, dad rips him a new one, and then they go right to mom. Because that mom is right there for the nurturing care of the now. And those both aspects are needed. We need the end result, but we also need that nurturing care. But we can't lose the father figure. The mother wants to cherish and nurture and love and hold and affirm. And we need that in the now. But we also need those father figures to come along and say, that's wonderful. But we want to make sure that the end result is that you are living according to God's standards. Amen? Amen? I mean, you were saved into the kingdom of God. You were, every Christian belongs to that kingdom. You dwell in that kingdom. Your citizenship is in heaven, not here. You may be a citizen of America, but you're a citizen of the kingdom of God now. And so, we are citizens of that kingdom. The Spirit of God has indwelled you. We're waiting for Jesus to come back and establish his eternal kingdom. See all of his glory, his eternal glory. And we are going to share in his glory. And Paul comes along and says, as a father, says with all of that, with everything that you have been given, all that God has done for you, don't you think you ought to walk worthy of God? Amen. Do you know you can make God sad? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, don't grieve the Spirit of God. You know what grieving the Spirit of God means? It means you're making God sad. You know God got sad in all kinds of things? You know Jesus wept over the tomb of Lazarus? Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I was just like a little hen gathers her chicks. I just wanted to gather you up, just and mother you. But you didn't want nothing to do with me. It's not going to be a strong authority like a father and discipline you. And so how, of all the things that God has done, he's adopted you into the family. Ephesians 1 says he has given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In God's kingdom, you have it all. You own it all. And then Paul comes along and says, how can you own all that stuff and not walk worthy of the God that called you into his kingdom and glory? It's not enough just to have compassion and tender caring. There's got to be the pure life that sets the standard in order for us to live by. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Can you say that in your life? Can you look to the person to your right or left and say, hey, imitate me because I'm imitating God? And I get it. None of us are qualified. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race, everybody runs, but only one receives the prize. So everybody is to run in such a way that you're the one that gets the prize. People need to see good, godly parent leaders in this messed up world.
Amen.
And so the question is, are you taking the time to come alongside some spiritual children believer and bring them into a daily life that is worthy of who they are in Christ? Are you pouring your life into somebody else? And if not, why? Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for our time. Thank you for your word, which guides and directs our steps. If we would just read it and adhere to it. And then when we are doing what you ask us to do, may we bring someone alongside of us and pour our life into them. Not just set the example, but exhort them, encourage them, be a witness to them so that they can align their life. And at the end of the day, say, yep, I'm walking worthy of the God that has called me into his kingdom. Father, as we examine ourselves, I pray that you just have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.